Chris Hillman, John Jorgensen, Bill Bryson, and Herb Peterson, the Jackal Quartet, if you prefer. And there's two Chris Hillman albums on Sugar Hill. One's called Desert Rose, the other's called Morning Sun. And there's a solo Herb Peterson album as well called Lonesome Feeling, also on Sugar Hill. Sugar Hill's kind of interesting label.
It's a very interesting label.
No, it is.
I mean that in a positive sense. I've had the pleasure of...
Let's talk about a royalty statement here. It's a good label. Darn good label. Gives people a chance. It does. The independent labels do give you the artistic freedom, and they do keep the form alive. Yeah. They get it out there.
Also, there's probably a good chance that these records will be available over a long period of time.
They wouldn't pull them out of print, would they? Would Barry do that?
not Miney wouldn't.
I haven't been able to find your album for years.
Yeah. No, it's a great focus point for acoustic music, mm-hmm. and Barry's doing a great job of keeping that alive, you know. Like Flying Fish and Rounder and Sugar Hill. It's great. You know, I mean, it's
I don't want to say anything negative about any of those companies, but Sugar Hill, to me, was one of the first small companies to really start putting some artwork on their
yes.
records.
Yeah. They'll listen to you when you say, I would like to have this kind of a thing on the cover. You know, that's basically what I did with mine. I just told them what I wanted, and they said, sure, let's see what you have in mind. And you know.
It's always been one of the terrible things about bluegrass music is the packaging has always been atrocious. It's been atrocious.
One of the best Jim and Jesse albums is one that has like a cartoon cover on it called Y'all Come.
Yeah.
And I tell you, you know, I, being a bluegrass musician, would flip through and just pass that one by right away had I not known who it was.
Yeah.
You know, it's too bad, you know. But... to his credit, Barry is doing great with album covers and, you know, taking time with packaging. And are you okay over there? Little frog in the throat, I guess, huh? You okay? All right.
Are you okay, Bill?
Chris.
Oh, I'm fine, thank
you. Radio joke.
Radio play nice.
Here's a song that Herb cut with David Grisman.
Yes.
The Here Today band.
Yes, on the Here Today. Yes, I'm. Yes,
and okay. Who did it originally?
Flatt & Scruggs did, as a matter of fact. I'd like to send this out to Libby and the kids who are listening at home. And here we go. One called The Love.
The Love and Will.
You will never know the pain that was.
Now I remember the Here Today.
That was Chris Hillman, Herb Peterson, Bill Bryce, and John Jorgensen. And that was the nucleus of what became the Desert Rose Band. That was from KPFK Studios from April 13th of 1986.
Lord Mary took to running with a traveling man, left her mama crying with her head in her hands. Such a sad case, so broken heart. She said, Mom, I gotta go, gotta get out of here, gotta get out of town, I'm tired of hanging around. I gotta roll on between the ditches. It's just an ordinary story about the way things go, round and around, nobody knows but the highway. She never would have done it if she hadn't got drunk, if she hadn't started running with a traveling man, if she hadn't started taking those crazy chances. She said, daughter, let me tell you about the traveling kind. Everywhere's gone such a very short time. You'll be long gone before you know it. You'll be long gone. Never ever known it when it felt so good. Never ever bait and the bars don't close. It's a real thing down in Louisiana. And did you ever see a Cajun when he really got mad, when he really got trouble like a daughter gone bad? It gets real hot down in Louisiana. And now the stranger let him move it all, he's gonna get killed, he's gonna have to get it or shotgun. Well, it ain't no time for length of speech. Never ever knew it when I knew I could. Never ever done it when it looked so right. Leaving Louisiana in the broad daylight. She said, never ever known it when it felt so good. Never ever knew it when I knew I could. Never ever done it when it looked so right. Leaving Louisiana in the broad daylight. It's just an ordinary story about the way things go. Round and around, nobody knows but the highway. Goes on forever. There ain't no way to stop the water.
Rodney, it's one of the songs off your brand new album, and I'd like to congratulate you. It's a beautiful album.
Thank you.
Did you have much trouble choosing the songs for the album?
Well, I did, because I had a lot.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot, but I had a few songs to choose from, some that had been recorded. So when it came down to pick them out, I just went with the ones that felt the best once we'd recorded them.
I'd like to thank you, too, for still doing other people's songs, even though I know you could probably fill several albums with your own. There are a lot of other songs around that deserve kind of good singing that you can add to them. And I'm really happy that you do that, too.
Well, I part of the reason I did that was, you know, I did some of those old country barroom shuffles on my album. Part of the reason I did that was to point out that was where my roots in music lie.
Mm-hmm.
Lies, I should say. And plus the fact that there are just tons of good songs around. Everybody that's in the music business write songs, probably, you know, so that makes tons of them there to do.
You've come to everybody's attention mostly by Emmylou Harris doing your songs and by being in Emmylou Harris's band. How did that happen? How did you get in the band?
Well, I was living in Nashville, Tennessee, and Brian Ahern was a producer up in Canada, mm-hmm. doing Ann Murray, and I met the guy that played bass with Ann's band, named Skip Beckwith. He came through town, and he heard some of my songs. He said, "You ought to meet this guy in Toronto, produces record." And about the same time that I met Brian, he got involved in producing Emmy for Warner Brothers when she first signed up with him. Mm-hmm. And so I was writing songs, and he introduced us. You know, I had some songs she liked. She picked out Bluebird Wine, Till I Gained Control Again. And we became friends that way.
How about another song?
All right. What do y'all want to do?
Till I Gained Control Again.
Yeah, I can do Till I Gained Control Again right now, since I said it. Listen to this one to Tara.
Just like the sun over the mountain top, you know I'll always come again. You know I love to spend my morning time like sunlight dancing I've never gone so wrong as for telling lies to you. What you've seen is what I've been. There is nothing I could hide. Than I can. Out on the road that lies before me now, there are some turns where I will spin. You can hold me now. Well, I can gain control again. Sailing on, I'll always can gain control again. I only hope that you can hold me now till I can gain control.
I've got heartaches by the numbers, troubles by the score. Every day you love me less, each day I love you more. I've got heartaches by the numbers, love that I can't waste. The day that I stop counting, they learned reading and writing. Route 23 to the job, laid waiting in the city's factory. They learned reading and writing. Rose to the north to the luxury comfort a coal miner can't afford. They thought reading and writing. Route 23, oh, take them. The good life they had never seen. They didn't know that old highway lead them to a world so free. Have you ever been down Kentucky way, say south, pressed in the fur? Have you ever been up in a holler? Have you ever heard off his life away, digging that black hole in those dark mines, dark mines. If you had, you might just understand the reason that they left it all behind. They learned to read, writing, Route 23 to the jobs laid awaiting in those cities back. They learned to read and take back. Rose to the north, to the luxury comfort a coal miner can't afford. They thought of reading and writing. Route 23 ought to take them to the good life they had never seen. They didn't know that old highway lead them to a world of misery.
Dwight Yoakam from, we did this in an outside location, not outdoors, but.
Okay, Los Angeles, listen to sponsored Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California.
This is Folk Scene. I'm Howard Larman with Peter Cutler at the controls. Our guests are Clive Gregson and Christine Collister. You start with a song?
Certainly will. Here we go.
Sound even better than last time. must be all that practicing.
Well, you do a bit.
Listen, was that song written about anybody in particular? Is it?
Not really. It was a phrase that somebody said to me once. I have this friend who I met in London a little while ago, and he told me that he'd been to a party, and that he was surprised at this particular party. He met six different guys at this party who were all there with women that weren't their wives. Uh-huh. And he was a bit shocked by this, and this was a phrase that kind of cropped up.
Our guests are Clive Gregson, who you just heard talking, and Christine Collister.
Hello.
Who just heard singing and is going to talk. You know, you said last time you were here that you knew it's at the age of six you wanted to be a singer.
Yeah.
What did you do from that point? Just started mimicking everything you heard on the radio? Or
I don't know. I used to actually sing to myself. Nothing in particular. I don't think I ever picked up whole songs. Uh-huh. I know about a line out of most out of most songs that have ever been on the radio, but I couldn't sing the whole lot. That's all I used to do. I just used to sing to myself. I wasn't, you know, particular about what I sang.
Uh-huh. How about another song?
Okay, yeah. I'm going to do another song from the Mischief record, and this is called That Same Mistake. Felt to earth from 8 miles high.
fly. I just hit the ground. I walked away, but that was just a lucky break. Never ever made that same mistake. I was singing out, I was singing in. I was captivated by the promise of all the finer things in life. And as the scales fall from my eyes, I sit and shake. Never ever made that same mistake. Threw away the shortest straw, thinking I had won. I lost everything. I had to pick up all the crumbs, not the cake. Never ever made that same mistake. Just be thankful what you've got, for heaven's sake. Never ever make that same mistake. Same mistake. Same mistake. Same mistake.
Got it from her captain when he sailed around the horn, bringing gifts from China to their Oklahoma home. There were fancy silks and carved wood chests from the places he had gone. She kept them all until she died, but this was her favorite one. Just a little box all covered with blossoms white as snow, Chinese red and made of brass that he gave her long ago. Like the red dirt Oklahoma hills and the springtime flowering trees that she kept with all the love they shared inside her memories. And she kept it on her dresser, gold and silver rings, necklaces of turquoise, beads and other things. It filled her heart with the mystery and the magic of the day when he gave it to her for her own in his quiet, loving way. 10 years they spent together, he'd come home and then he'd leave. And one day while she waited, disappeared at sea, and no one knew how she'd call his name to the silent rocks and stones, or how she'd sit and hold that little box so she would not feel alone. Just a little box all covered with blossoms white as snow, Chinese red and made of brass that he gave her long ago. Like the red dirt Oklahoma hills and the springtime flowering trees that she kept with all the love they shared inside her memories. They buried her without them where the prairie grasses grow. In China or a woman's heart, there are places no one knows. Just a little box all covered with blossoms white as snow. Chinese red and made of brass that he gave her long ago. Like the red dirt Oklahoma hills and the springtime flowering trees that she kept with all the love they shared inside her memories. And they buried her without them where the prairie grasses grow. In China or a woman's heart, there are places no one knows.
Our guest, Kate Wolf, one of her own songs, which will be on her forthcoming album.
Actually, the whole album is all my songs. Mm-hmm. So I just can say that blanket there.
Has that been the case? Have you done the albums before that were all your own?
Yeah, Safe at Anchor is all my own songs, yeah. And so is Close to You, I believe. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Never gave it much thought. You're a solo writer, aren't you? You don't work with anybody else when you write.
Yeah, I have actually this one song called Friend of Mine, which I've written that Nina Gerber and my bass player Ford James helped me with a melody to. But I am such a I don't know how to put that, an individualist, I guess. I don't write lyrics easily with someone else.
Uh-huh.
So the only song that truthfully I can say is a collaboration is years ago I wrote Everybody's Looking for the Same Thing with my friend Hugh Shacklett. We just were kind of throwing ideas at each other. But I seem to write alone, it's true.
We've got one in the works, Kate, I'd like to read.
Yeah, Bill and I, we were working on one here. He wrote the melody and I wrote the words, and I'm working on the words.
Sometimes I think of those people that write alone as, because they jump up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get a pencil and paper and start writing, you know.
Sometimes it happens that way.
Is that, yeah.
It's hard to sit down and say, I'm going to write a song today. However, if someone's sitting around, like if Martin and Alan were at my house and we were just noodling around and they were playing something, I would probably hear a song in my head and write it down and then make them play it with me. So,
torture.
Yeah, well, it's called Stump the Band Without, you know. But no, there's a stimulation of having instrumentalists around me that makes me hear different melodies and things like that. Like the song Emma Rose was actually written as I went to bed after listening to the Cache Valley Drifters play in my kitchen. And they were doing a song, Playland at the Sea. Remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
That has a real similar kind of feel to it. And I went to bed hearing them in my head, you know.
I didn't know that, Kate.
See, truth is out. You thought it was an original tune. Yeah.
I have heard from people that that have written. In fact, I know of two hit songs, actual verified, bona fide hits, who were actually written by people that were fooling around with one song or one tune and just like took it up an octave and stretched it out, and all of a sudden they found some comfortable lyric with it.
Interesting. They wrote the melody first then.
Yeah. They were just fooling around with. In fact, last night we were trying to remember one of the songs. We were trying to remember what song it was that they were fooling around with. It was, and Roz and I could not think of it, but we were told by the people who wrote it that they were sitting around one night just.
Oh, I mean, taking an existing song.
It was a traditional song.
Yeah,
and I can't remember.
Noodling around. Yeah, I've definitely heard echoes of other songs in mine.
Uh-huh.
And the stimulation, I'll be listening to radio sometimes and a whole song will pop out. I'll be driving down the road writing with one hand.
And does it scare you? Do you worry about whether your melody's original?
Oh, I mean, does it scare me? Do you think I'll get pulled over? No.
Writing with one hand and driving with
one. Does it scare me that what?
That you worry about the melody being original, or
sometimes it does, but then I just fall back on the words and decide not to worry about it. But definitely sometimes a song won't work for me when the melody just doesn't happen quite right.
Is that a block for a writer to worry about whether they're being derivative?
It's I don't know if it's a block for a writer. It's boring. So what you do is get out and perform it. That's the best thing you can do, because as you perform it, you'll start to lift your melody or change words just to fit better, you know. It's
uh-huh.
Best way to do it.
Our guest is Kate Wolf, along with Bill Griffin, Alan Thornhill.
You got it.
There you go.
I was thinking of the band, Claude Thornhill, the band leader, and Martin Young.
Yeah, except, yeah, that's right. Alan Thornhill wrote Feather in the Wind, that's on the Cache Valley Drifters album.
Uh-huh.
You might know that song.
What song are you going to do next?
This is called Slender Thread.
One, two, three, four.
She's weaving him a pillow full of dreams. Soft winter wool and summer fleece. The colors of the berries that grow among the hills. Strands of cloudy gray and deep blue indigo. As she sits beside the open door in the evening sun, combs the carded wool in her lap, her long hair all undone. Talking to the one she loves, she weaves the hand-spun yarn like a web around her there to keep her safe from harm. He dances in his heart like a feather, so fine the threads that bind these souls together. Sometimes the strongest love hangs by such a slender thread. He always loved to sing those country songs. About some old friend riding with the highway signs, but his favorites were the ones he could play between the lines. He would sit on her porch in the evening light with his guitar in his hands, singing to the night, weaving pictures in her mind with every single word. But the songs he wrote for her were the only ones she heard. He had his drifter's heart on a tether. So fine the threads that bound these souls together. She loved to hear him sing, that's what she said. Sometimes the strongest love by such a slender thread.
see him lying there with broken bones and a child's smile on a man full grown. He'd gone just another inch, by now he would be dead. At times a life can hang by such a slender thread, and he can only thank his stars for another day. And then he has to choose to live another way. But he can't ask her how this time. She's already said that fine line that you walk is just a slender thread. She knows his heart can be as tough as leather, so strong the threads that bind these souls together. But still he counts the scars inside his head. Sometimes the strongest love hangs by such a slender thread. She's weaving him a pillow for his head.
Our guests are Kate Wolfe and friends. Kate, after the last album, Give Yourself to Love, came out, you went on your sabbatical, you quit performing. How did it affect the sales of the records? Did it sell as well as anything else?
Yeah, it was a real surprise. My distributor immediately had a heart attack when he heard I was taking a sabbatical. He says, I can't sell this record, she's retiring. But I needed to take a year out, and I felt that the record would sort of stand on its own ground, and that's exactly what happened. It did very well. It won Best Folk Album of 1983 at the Nair convention, and it was running against Stan Rogers, Tom Paxton, Ronnie Gilbert, and Holly Nair.
Wow.
And for a double album, it hasn't made any difference at all. It's just selling great. Now that I'm performing again, I'm selling a lot of them at my performances. Mm-hmm. But it's been very gratifying and actually kind of fun, because I knew that there wasn't really going to be a problem. I just really feel that a record has a life of its own, and if people want to hear it, it will be heard. It doesn't really mean the performer necessarily has to be out there. It's opening up a lot of, people are giving it to each other as presents, and so I'm getting a lot of people in my audiences who've never seen me before because of that record.
How wonderful.
It's really wonderful.
Do you think being a live album had something to do with that acceptance?
Being a live album had a lot to do with it, but also the title song, Give Yourself to Love, is probably a great part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That song was written for a wedding, and a lot of people use it for weddings, and they give it to friends, you know, so it kind of is a combination. But I think the live album, It really is a statement of where I am as a performer, or have been for the last 12 years. I felt it was kind of a completion for me when that album was done. It marked the end of a certain style of working regularly with Nina and Ford. You can tell from what I've been doing today, you know, I was really ready to just try something different,
mm-hmm.
to try something different within the context of my own songs. And also on that double album, I put on some songs by other people I've always loved and always performed, like Who Knows Where the Time Goes, you know. I didn't record that for commercial reasons at all. Only because I love the song. And I was allowed to do that because it was a double.
Very. It's a great album. I love it.
Thank you.
Love it. We have time for a couple more songs, if you have a couple more.
We have a couple more. Let me make sure I'm in tune here. How much time do we have? I don't know. Time for a couple more, huh? Oh, boy. Can I have your B or A? No, let's see. Can I have a...
Our guest is Kate Wolfe, along with Bill Griffin, Alan Thornhill, and Martin Young. Kate's most recent album is called Give Yourself to Love.
Do you know any good jokes, Howard?
I'm telling him about your album availability, so...
I can give him the address if you want to write for the catalog.
Okay, why don't you give him the address?
Yeah, I guess your pencils. If you want to know anything about my records or be on my mailing list, you can write to Kaleidoscope Records, Post Office Box O, El Cerrito, California, 94530. If you're in a big fat hurry and you want to talk to somebody there, you can call 415-234-4100 and ask for Tom or Tiff. And they're great. And actually, we're looking forward to getting a bigger mailing list in this area. So if anybody wants to be on it, just drop a postcard to that.
It sounds like you have
address.
A lot of involvement in the company as well.
I have a lot of involvement. You know, I put out my own two records. The first two were mine on Al Records.
Right.
And then I leased them to Kaleidoscope, and then we made Safe at Anchor. This will be my eighth year of working with them, and this will be my sixth album. And we're going to be doing two more after this. So, you know, it's a really nice relationship, and... yeah, we're really close, all of us, actually. And Tom has been down working on the album with us, Tom Diamond. Well, I usually play this one on the piano, and this is the Stump the Band number because they didn't record it with me. So, gosh, guys, you can follow me since you can't even see me underneath all the...
We'll do our best.
Well, this is a song for anyone who's ever had to put their dreams on hold. And, excuse me, it's based on a song by Judy Mahan. Wonderful songwriter who lives up in Mendocino. Mm-hmm.
She sings my life for me, a tapestry of children's smiles, wrapped in memories and miles. You better do the things you dream. See, here she says, you know it seems the children grow and lovers sleep, the time that's left is yours to keep. Her song rises like the wave and falls and takes me far away. A sorceress on hammered keys, her fingers play my destiny. See, here she says, must believe. See, here she said, you know it seems the children grow and lovers sleep, the time that's left is yours to keep. soothes me like a lullaby. I can see her sing through half-closed eyes. See here she said, dreams never lie. My dreams are visions on the wind, in places I have never been. Pictures only I can see, songs that sleep inside of me. See here, she said, you must believe. See here, she said, you know it seems the children grow and lovers sleep, and the time that's left is yours to keep.
Tish, you're living in Austin, right? Is that a better place to work out of than say Nashville or
than others?
Yes, than others. Yes.
Yeah, it did. It has. I've been there for about 3 years. I left San Antonio in 1979 for the mountains of New Mexico. It was a wonderful time I spent up there. And between that time, there was, the time I spent in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was time to come back to Texas, Austin was what drew me because of, well, the law school for my husband. He was in the middle of law school at the time. And the whole feeling of Austin, the music and the being at the Capitol and the politics going on, it was a really great time to be involved, and it's a good town to raise kids in, too.
Mm-hmm. So. When you lived in Nashville, did you say earlier you were, like, trying to write pop songs? Is that what was going on?
Well, actually, my initial artistic idea was that I thought I was just I wanted to be a singer who occasionally wrote somewhat or co-wrote with somebody, but it just didn't work out that way. My voice didn't catch the attention. I did get offers and stuff, but I wasn't interested. I was losing interest really fast in just singing commercial country music. To mm-hmm. me, it wasn't, my heart wasn't in it. I'd go into the studio and sing the songs, and to me they were just really predictable and real, didn't have a lot of substance. And at that point I also started seeing myself as this Mexican-American woman who was bilingual and who had not only bilingual tongue but also bilingual thoughts and bicultural mm-hmm. ideas. And I felt it really important to start expressing that. And Nashville at the time wasn't the place to do it. And now more and more with Homeland especially, I've opened some doors and made a lot of friends there. And I don't mind at all having the country welcome mat set out for me. And I feel that it's there. I don't get played on country radio a lot yet because they can't say the name very well. But I just feel that we're planting seeds in lots of different pots, and that's sort of how I like it.
Speaking of the name, it wasn't that many years ago that record companies would have signed an artist like yourself and tried to negotiate a name change. I mean, even people may not even know this, but John Hartford's real name is not John Hartford. The record company told him to put the T into it because that's the way people would mm-hmm. see it. So,
oh, yeah.
So it wasn't that long ago that they kind of got people to play with their names. Was there any hint of that?
Oh, no, there was definitely talk of that during that period. I think that was, and I don't want to make things hard on people either, and I don't want to keep my name just because, you know, I want to challenge people to try to say things that aren't natural. I mean, but the kind of, in order to be honest with the kind of music I write and the kind of artist that I am, I could never feel right with any name that, you know, I just couldn't create a name. Yeah. I just didn't feel right. I felt too Las Vegas or something.
Well, I think I appreciate the fact that you didn't change it because it's my problem, not your problem.
Well, see, once people know how to say it, it's really funny because the Hinojosas came over from Spain in the 1700s, and they've been living in the Rio Grande Valley since then. Mm-hmm. And that's where any Hinojosa in the world, not the New World, what are we, in America, are from that same bunch. So even out here in California, they might have come up through Mexico or up from South America, but they were all some of the first families that came to this part of the world. So you go, it's really funny because you're down in San Antonio on down, and you look in any phone book, and there's probably two or three pages of Hinojosas. So anytime, in any town I'm in, you know, be it Chicago or Seattle, I always open the phone book and see how many Hinojosas are up there. there's little sprinklings everywhere.
We have time for one more song. I can't believe it's come by.
Okay, well, we have one more song. Actually, probably nice to close this out, and hope to see y'all really soon, like this week. this song is the title song to the Spanish live record. It's called Aquella Noche. It means That Certain Night. Más en la mirada.
is Sheena Hossa from KPFK Studios, October 6th of 1991, and I just promised them music.